Good morning. Good morning. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. There was somebody with a hand up. Amen. So about a year ago, I got laryngitis, and I mean full-blown laryngitis. I'm a preacher. I speak for a living. I couldn't even croak. I started, and this was for six, almost 7 days, and so I had to write notes, because, you know, Google MD tells you you're not even supposed to whisper, or maybe that was my husband, but anyway, I wrote notes to my husband a couple times. I'm like, is this an answer to prayer? Anyway, so I told my kids, and my son responded. I mean, I didn't tell them with my voice. I texted them, and my son responded with a scripture verse to my laryngitis. Exodus 14:14. The Lord will fight for you. You need only stay silent. I don't think there was any real empathy there. You know what I'm saying? The reality is I had no choice. I could not speak. I had to cancel a couple things that I had that week. You know, sometimes silence is golden. It is the best choice in certain situations. But in the narrative that we're looking at today, 1 Kings 18, it's not the best choice. God's covenant people are practicing synchronism, which is a kind of smorgasbord religion. Pick a little bit of this, pick a little bit of that. Fashion a God in your own image. And what was going on in the land was horrific evil and suffering. And there were two God-fearing men who stood up and spoke. This false god, little g gods, was kind of like build a bear, you know, build a god. Only it's a little g god and has no power that you do not give it. Famed actress Marilyn Monroe was once asked if she believed in God, and she said, yes, I believe in a little bit of everything. So I'm going to read a scripture, not the one that I had originally intended, but I want to look at Deuteronomy 10, starting with verse 12. And if you are able, I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of God's holy word. And this passage is just thematic from Genesis to Revelation. And now, Israel, and now, people of God, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, not divided, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you this day for your own good. And then this is in the New Testament, when Jesus was asked, well, out of all the commandments, what is the most important? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, everything. Would you bow in a word of prayer with me, please? Gracious Lord, it is really tough because there is a smorgasbord out there, and quite frankly, it's kind of inviting and easy. And seems to serve us in moments of need. That God, would you give us hearts that stay faithful to you, wills that bow before you. God, would you help us be willing to speak truth to power, even truth to evil, that your name, that you alone would be glorified. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Well, this passage is a well-known Bible story. If you grew up going to Sunday school, I'm sure you heard it once or twice. My husband actually says of this passage that it is the funniest passage in all of Scripture. Someone has said it is a middle school boy's dream passage. It has heroes and villains and a battle. It's got name calling and it's got potty mouth talk. So what are the situation and the characters? We have Ahab. Ahab is the king. Listen to what it says in the scripture about Ahab. 1 Kings 16:30. He was the son of Omri and did more evil in the sight of the Lord than any of those who had gone before him. And that is saying something. 1 Kings 21:22. You have sold yourself to do evil in the sight of the Lord. Gives me chills. And then he's married to Jezebel, his wife, who makes Ahab look like a nice guy. Jezebel wants to destroy God's prophets, wants to destroy everything about the Lord as revealed in his holy word. I mean, let me just put it this way. If anyone ever calls you a Jezebel, it's not a compliment, okay? We have Elijah and Obadiah. We'll get to them in a minute. We have Baal, who is the chief deity and just false religion. And you have the sacrifice of babies, every kind of evil and sexual perversion. I know sometimes we think, oh, I just wish we had the good old days. Well, the good old days weren't all that great, okay? I mean, everybody was doing what was right in their own eyes. And we have the people of God, the Israelites who would remember that God had brought them out of captivity and slavery. And yet, they took a little bit of him and added a whole bunch of other, fashioning it. And God said, no, enough, enough. It's a third year of a drought. In James 5, we see that as a direct result of the sin, of the broken covenant between God and his people, Elijah the prophet prays that there would be a drought, and there was. For 3 years, God said enough. And so 1 Kings 18 opens with Ahab, a meeting between Ahab and Elijah. And there's, you got the name calling. I mean, Ahab says to Elijah, you troublemaker, all of this is your fault. And Elijah says, no. See, here's the first step of Elijah speaking truth, not just to power, but to evil. He says, no, it's your fault, Ahab. All of this is because of your evil, and you're leading the people into idolatry. So the showdown, evil challenged to a duel. I mean, so now the big guns come out and Elijah challenges Ahab to gather all the 450 prophets of Baal, the 450 prophets of Asherah, gather them all together and bring all of the Israelites to Mount Carmel. And if you have not been there, it is a beautiful place, one of the most lush places in all of Israel. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. And I want to read verses 20 and 21 of 1 Kings 18. So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. And you know the response of the people? Hallelujah! No, but the people said nothing. That's when silence is not golden. But the people said nothing. Elijah here is talking to them about the fact that their faith is lame. Literally, the word used here is that it's crippled. They are, in essence, straddling the fence. One foot over here worshiping the one true God, and one foot over here worshiping whatever feels good for the day. Think of how uncomfortable that would be. An old African proverb says, if you try to straddle the fence, you will rip your pants. And Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. We have to make a choice. We have to make a choice. But the people remained silent. There was no objection. There was no repentance. They lacked the courage to either defend their position or to change it. They were willing to live unexamined lives of low conviction. Not choosing right is indeed choosing. So evil is challenged to a duel. And it's not Elijah against Baal. It's not Elijah against Ahab. It is God, the one true living God, against the false God of Baal and any other ones. And so this is what Elisha says. I'm going to summarize it. He says, we're going to get two bulls. You guys have a lot more people than me. You can go first. Build an altar and then get two bulls. You're going to cut one up. You're going to put it there. And then you are going to pray to your God that in the midst of this drought where, come on, we live in Southern California. We know droughts cause fire. You have your God start a fire. Sounds good. Now, this is where I'm going to read it because this is where it gets funny. I mean, I would not encourage anybody here. Please don't leave saying, Andrea says we should mock people and use sarcasm. But that's what Elijah does. He mocks the prophets of Baal. He mocks the people. So they took the bull given them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. Baal, answer us, they shouted. But there was no response. No one answered. And then they danced around the altar they had made. I mean, picture this, okay? At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. Shout louder, he said. Surely he is a god, little g god. You know what? Perhaps he is deep in thought. Or busy, or traveling. You know what? Maybe he is sleeping and must be awakened. So they shouted louder. Now, let me just give you a deep theological insight into this passage right now. A Hebrew euphemism that could be taken from this. Are you ready? Maybe your God is in the bathroom. Maybe he is in the toilet. Go knock on the door. I mean, so that's what he's saying here. So they shouted louder. Oh, and since nothing else worked, they began to slash themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until their blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice. But there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. So it's Elijah's turn. He has them get four jars of water. And, you know, I know there's a drought, but in Mount Carmel, they have lots of springs, fresh springs. So they probably would have gathered the water from there. And there's a lot that Elijah did that has great significance that we don't have time for. But when the altar was rebuilt and the bull was on it, he had them pour the water all around. Me, I would be getting, you know, what is that stuff you start fires with? That's what I would be using, you know, get my matchbook out, get your little fire stick out. No, Elijah is having them pour water on where he's going to ask God to light it. Then he steps forward and he calls on the name of the one true living God. At the time of the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. See, he's recounting, he's reminding. He's saying, this is the God, the one true living God. He it's not some new God, hasn't changed. This is the faithful covenant God. Let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me so these people will know that you, Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back again. This is the sovereign power of the living God. This is an aside I was actually bringing up, but if you have any children or loved ones that aren't walking with the Lord, you bow down to this God because he has the power to turn a heart to him. Amen. Wasn't even in my notes, but man, that is so powerful. Then the fire of the Lord. Now just notice, Elijah's not dancing around. He's not cutting himself. Just simple prayer, because see, it's not about Elijah. It's not about Elijah saying something fancy. It's not Elijah having magical powers. It's all about Yahweh, the one true living God. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up all the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." Amen. This is the word of the Lord. So here is the challenge for all of us. Is the minority is a majority with God. Just Elijah, just Obadiah. But John Knox wrote, the minority is a majority with God. And Abraham Lincoln said, to sin by silence when they should protest makes cowards out of men and women. So when I was in junior high, I had a best friend, Mary DeRee. And when we were, we did everything together. Her family adopted me, my family adopted her. Best friends did everything together, inseparable. Well, when we were about to go into high school, Denise DeVinny, who was the absolute most popular girl in all junior high, and you know, think back to junior high, that's really important. She comes up to me and she says, Andrea, you know, I think we need to drop Mary, because going into high school, she's going to really hold us back. Well, rewind a little bit about 6 months before, and I was part of the nice group. This is not mean girls in junior high. I was part of the nice group, but, you know, junior hires. Anyway, Mary and I were there, and we had this girl, Linda Miller, in our group, socially awkward, kind of the, when you think a nerd, but very sweet, and she was part of our group, and some of the girls in the group said, we really need to, you know, she's just not cool. And I still remember Mary. Mary, by the way, is all of 5 feet tall. Mary said, that's fine. You can kick Linda out of the group, but I'm going with her. So now fast forward to Denise DeVinny saying to me, Mary's going to hold us back. We need to drop her, you know, basically so we can be really cool in high school. Well, needless to say, I did not drop Mary. We are still best friends today. We actually call ourselves the longest best friend, because it's been so many years. She's maid of honor in my wedding. She's auntie to my kids and grandkids. Here's the funny thing. So Mary became the director of global accounts for the Ritz-Carlton. So my children only stayed at Ritz-Carlton when they were young. And the first time they stayed at a hotel that was, you know, that we had to pay for, they were hotel snobs. They're like, what is this dive? It's like, excuse me, this dive is what your parents can afford. But I've stayed in so many Ritz-Carltons, I'll tell you this, every single time I check into a Ritz-Carlton, if Mary's not with me, I call her, or I say it if she's with me, I say, you know, Mary has really held me back. Somebody just got it. You know, I share that story because I think in some ways, we say junior hires, insecure, not wanting to speak up and sound stupid, whatever it is that keeps us silent. But in the face of such horrific evil, two men stood and spoke to evil. First, you have Obadiah. He's my new hero. Obadiah, when Jezebel was hunting the prophets of the Lord, you know, he was in charge of the household of Ahab. So in the house of evil, but he was God's man. He's a devoted follower of God. Jezebel is trying to kill the prophets of God. And do you know what Obadiah does? He takes 100 of them and he hides them and he feeds them and gives them water. You know, if he had been caught, he wouldn't have been fired. He would have been killed. And then there, There's a whole nother, we don't have time to, I encourage you to read this later. He goes out and stands up to Ahab again, doesn't even want to. He's like, oh, please, Obadiah, please, Elijah, don't ask me to do this. I followed God all my life. This is so dangerous if I do it, yada, yada, yada. But he does it. You can look it up. I'm not going to tell you what it is. But he does it. And he does it even though he had fear. See, obedience to God, courageous obedience to God, is not the absence of fear. It's trusting. It's trusting God, Yahweh. I am that I am. I will be who I will be. Amen? And then you come to Elijah. His name means Jehovah is my God. He says in verse 22, I alone am left out of God's prophets, which, by the way, is not completely true. But he was standing up there alone, and he calls this evil king out. He speaks truth to him. So here we have an example in one of the darkest days of Israel's history. Obadiah and Elijah stand up. They speak truth, not just to power, but to evil power. Jesus said in Matthew 28, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. How were they able to stand up against such evil? I think it's important to realize it wasn't because they had a great education. It wasn't because they had a great army behind them. It says in James 5 about Elijah, it says he's like us. He's like us. Just normal. Both Obadiah and Elijah feared the Lord more than they feared what man could do to them. They did not straddle the fence, although I'm sure they were tempted at times. Baal, evil, is no match for God. But staying quiet in the midst of evil breaks the heart of God. When we do not speak up, when we do not serve, and maybe the way we're called to speak up isn't with words, but the way we serve and love. If we see an injustice, whatever it is, that we would speak up, stand up. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who died in prison because he spoke truth to evil in Nazi Germany, said this, silence in the face of evil is evil itself. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. Where is God calling me and you to speak truth to power? Where is God calling us out of our comfort zone? In Ezekiel 22:30, the Lord said, I looked for someone to stand in the gap, but I found no one. Who will stand up? Who will say, here I am, Lord? You know, maybe it's because I'm getting older. It's these lights make me look a lot older, but maybe it's because I'm getting older, but you begin to realize, you know, life is really short. This time on earth that we strive so hard to be comfortable is so short. But eternity, that we would be willing to speak up against darkness, sharing the gospel, loving people with the word of God, trusting him in all things. Rosa Parks was arrested in 1955 for refusing to give her bus seat to a white man. In her book, Quiet Strength, she writes the following. When I sat down on the bus that day, I had no idea history was being made. I was only thinking of getting home, but I had made up my mind. After so many years of being a victim of the mistreatment my people suffered, not giving up my seat and whatever I had to face afterwards was not important. I did not feel any fear sitting there. I felt the Lord would give me the strength to endure whatever I had to face. She said it was time someone stood up, or in her case, sit down. And so she said, I refused to move. When we hear that still small voice, don't ignore it. See, we ignore it long enough, and then we don't hear it in the big moments. Joshua said, choose this day whom you will serve. It's a daily choice. It's not once a year. It's not a one-time thing when you were at church camp. It's a daily choice. Choose this day whom you will serve. And then Joshua says, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Oh God, may it be so. Amen. Bow with me, please. Lord Jesus, may it be so. Lord, I admire Rosa Parks, but Lord, I don't know if I would have done that. Oh, Obadiah and Elijah, but I don't know. God, I pray you would give the eyes of our hearts such a love and a passion to see the one true God, and that fearing you above all else, having an awe and a reverence that will stand up to evil, that will speak truth to evil. Help us not count the cost, but help us to walk with you, serve you, be faithful to you. God, I pray you would stir in each one of our hearts to daily worship you, to daily spend time in your word and asking that you would use us, saying in prayer, here I am, Lord, use me. And then when that still small voice speaks, by your grace, empowered by your Holy Spirit, and always according to your word, we pray, may we speak up. And all God's children said, amen.